as he does each and every first Friday of the month, is NBC Connecticut Chief Investigative Reporter Len Bestoff. Len, good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
And Happy New Year to you guys. So good to see you all.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
You got some... Now, what's new for 2020? We got a new... Not only a new year, a new decade. Okay. Oof, what's crazy. New for 2020 for NBC Connecticut?
Well, we're sort of... We had, you know, like that soft opening at a restaurant when a restaurant opens with our YouTube channel.
Oh.
And I was just telling Brad about it during the break. This is somewhere where we can go beyond the actual average minute, two-minute story that we put at 6 o'clock or even in our Investigates pieces and go 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. And we've had some really great responses from viewers watching our stories on YouTube that are 10 minutes, 20 minutes long.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. And so one of them... This has been one of the biggest investigative stories our team broke in the last year. It was about this whole PFAS issue when they had the spill at the aviation hangar at Bradley Airport and it got into the Farmington River.
That's right,
really
I remember that.
Yes. Radar screens there.
Okay, so what's developed since last time?
Okay, so check this. There is a beautifully shot and written documentary. It's a small doc. It's about 10 minutes long.
Okay.
But it does qualify as a doc, but call it what you want. Bottom line is it goes in depth about this PFAS issue that we have here in Connecticut. I'm not the reporter who's done the story, but of course I'm part of the unit, so I'm always telling folks the great things we do. Shannon Miller is the reporter, and she's also our morning anchor on the weekends, who just totally took this story and ran with it last year. And it's a serious, serious issue. And her work and the other work of folks at our station, like David Michnowitz, our photographer, it's really promoted some change here in terms of fire departments really looking at different alternatives to using that firefighting foam PFAS is in.
But that's dangerous, isn't it?
Super dangerous.
Big time.
Yes, it's what's called a forever chemical. And you don't want that getting in your waterways or in you.
But yet, it did.
Yes. On more than one occasion. Of course, unfortunately, in October, we had that B-17 crash.
I remember that, yeah.
And they had to use that foam.
And that was that in the Farmington River?
Yes. Yes, that's generally where it goes if anything's happening.
Okay, and which... Good people are not generally drinking water out of the Farmington River, but there's aquatic life in the river, fishing. But you're not eating the. I hope that you're not eating the fish out of the Farmington River, though.
You know, some people might.
Never know.
You may not now. Then,
yeah, exactly.
But it's great that fire departments are learning that lesson. But let's go to the fire academies. Are they now? Are they shifted their instruction away from that?
I think that's something that's going to have to gradually happen. I don't think that's happening right yet. But that's going to be probably something our friend Shannon Miller will be working on in 2020.
And you said Shannon's new?
No, she's been with us about 3-4 years
oh,
now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
This is amazing.
Yeah, it is.
That something like this can happen.
It really shakes you to the core because when you think about PFAS, it's the equivalent. It's sort of like liquid Teflon. And we have Teflon in everything. We cook on it. It's in pizza boxes. All these things that are very connected to what we eat and drink.
Well, you know, it just, Brad, it makes you think. You got to be afraid of about everything now.
You know something? That's absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
For crying out loud. Now your pizza box.
Well, not to be such a downer on Friday, but we have some other really neat pieces that we have on NBC Connecticut on YouTube. Like, for example, this is sort of a cool story. It's called Hidden in Plain Sight. It's a series of stories one of our investigative reporters, Dan Corcoran's been doing for a year or so now, and he did about a 23-minute program with John Wardle, one of our photographers, our chief photographer, going all over Connecticut, showing you things you had no idea existed, going inside a theater that's just a boarded-up old building. It was an opera house in the Naugatuck Valley that has been closed for, I believe it's like 60 years. There's a building in West Hartford you may drive by that you notice it looks like a house, but no one's ever in it. And it's a huge...
just a facade?
Yeah. It's a farm, a tech farm, for the town of West Hartford. And they wouldn't even let us inside it.
Really?
What's so secretive about it, though?
They really won't tell us. But I think it's sort of where their communication and other data is kept. Then there's a home over in Hartford. I can't remember what section it's at. It's somewhere near the West End, where it's a house that's very narrow but very long, but from the road it looks like a mansion. He's also taken our drone up to Holy Land in Waterbury and really given you a view that you've never seen before. And all this stuff is on our YouTube channel, which is really starting to get a lot of traction. I know you guys talk a lot of politics on here.
Right.
We have our program Face the Facts, and we have a lot of the segments on there with all the different newsmakers in our state. Both R's and D's.
So this has really become what you're doing. Wow. And here you are with us, too. But what a wonderful, wonderful thing that
you
developed.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a lot like you all do. You know, you have different things that you put now on the internet, and there's all these different ways that we're trying to have viewers and listeners, in your case, get your content.
When did NBC Connecticut launch the YouTube channel?
About 6 months ago.
Oh, really? It's been that long?
Yeah, but it was sort of a quiet, soft opening, and now we're sort of really telling folks about it, and we're getting really good response.
Well, of course, now you have 6 months worth of material that you know people can just go there instead of just seeing one or two or three things. They've got 6 months of material that they could.
And people.
That's fabulous. Oh, fabulous.
So you just go to YouTube and you type in NBC Connecticut.
Yep, and then you can subscribe to the page, and it's just great content. There's a few of my stories on there.
I would like to think. All right, so what are you working on? What's in the pipeline? What are you breaking? Last time you were here, you're like, you got Monday is going to be, you tease it a little bit, and then you had it on, I'm trying to think what
drive-only license.
Yeah, right, okay.
The drive-only license. We're not done with that. There's still things I can't talk about, everything we're working on, but the state says it's investigating still this situation where there are questions about address fraud with hundreds, perhaps thousands of these drive-only licenses that are for undocumented immigrants so they can work and not be driving around with fear that they're going to get pulled over and deported or something like that.
Are they driver's licenses or ID cards?
They're driver's license. They can't be used to get on a plane. They can't be used to go vote. Nothing like that. But it's just so they can get to and from work. These are for folks who are paying taxes and are abiding by the laws, but there have been questions about other folks coming into our state who may not even be from Connecticut or, for whatever reason, using a false address to get this ID. And there are questions as to how many of these folks actually are who they say they are.
No kidding.
Yes.
And they want to obtain the ID, to vote?
Wow.
Not to vote. We hope. But they may not, for example, live in Connecticut, but they get an ID because not every state has these drive-only IDs. New York just got it in the middle of last month. So there's a good chance that could stem some of this alleged address fraud that has raised some concerns because a lot of folks were coming across the border from New York to get these. That's what our contacts and our confidential informants are telling us.
Very cool. Hey, listen, I want to, before we run out of time, I want to make sure that we talk about airline data. And you were talking about, you know, some of the delays, what flights or what airlines are better than others and which airports to stay away from. Can we talk about that
Absolutely.
For a couple minutes?
This was a story we did for holiday travel, but it applies all year long.
Sure, yeah.
But we didn't just go with opinions or just incidental data. We drilled down with FAA data, you know, several years worth to really look at what the trends are. So, for example, the airport you don't want to fly out of if you're going to have delays, according to the FAA data, is Las Vegas.
So, McCarran.
Okay. I've never been to Las Vegas.
I have.
Everybody tells me I got to go.
Wait, you got to go there at least once. It's the adult Disneyland or Disney World. Yeah.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
That's very true.
A little bit longer than you expect. I think it's roughly like 40% of the flights have delays there.
No kidding.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
The good news is that Bradley does very well when it comes to flight delays. It does not have that many relative to airports its size and even larger.
No kidding.
Nice. That's good too.
That is very good news.
Airline that's the most on time may shock you, at least in the last year. So it was Delta. Was actually
they're the most on time?
More on time than most. I believe it was in the upper 70s, even low 80% of the
time. They're on time. Here's one of the problems, though. How do you measure on time? This is where it gets really interesting.
There you have it.
Well, hold on.
So if you were, if your plane was 5 minutes late getting into the terminal, would you say it was late?
If it's 5 minutes late?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope. Feds say 15 minutes or longer is late. So there are questions and arguments going back and forth about what is the standard, and it's 15 minutes, and what the standard should be going forward. But
and so late isn't late in that industry.
Exactly. Exactly.
Imagine if the workforce were like that. You're late. No, I'm only 15 minutes. I'm on time if you ask Delta Airlines.
There you go. Hey, that's a good answer.
The other thing we learned that, to me, was really interesting as well was that there's what's called padding. So, for example, let's say you were going to fly from here to Washington. 10 years ago, it may have been a 1 hour, 10 minute flight.
Okay.
Now it's a 1 hour, 20 minute flight or a 1 hour, 30 minute flight. So, oh my gosh, we're on time. We're ahead of schedule.
They're inflating the amount of time that it takes to get there so that, when they get there 10 minutes early, it's actually on time, but it's showing that it's early because they inflated the amount of time that it would take.
Yes. I mean, it's called in the industry padding. It's somewhat common, but there was a really interesting study that was done by a professor at Tufts about this that showed it's a bit more widespread than it used to be. So these are all things you got to think about.
I bet there's padding in every industry, though.
I think there is, but the issue is it's becoming a tad more widespread now.
All right, so we've got less than a minute to go, and I know you've got a big event coming up in February, right?
Yes, we do.
All right, let's talk about that.
Thank you so much for giving me a moment.
Of course.
NBC Connecticut has a blood drive. It's the American Red Cross blood drive. It is January 9th from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the American Red Cross Blood Donation Center in Farmington, Thursday, January 9th.
Oh, it's coming up next week.
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was February for some reason. No, oh,
big
okay.
One. Big one.
Yes, it is a big one. It's our winter blood drive. Caitlin McGrath, who is one of our outstanding meteorologists, will be hosting this event. And
wonderful.
We urge you to come and donate.
Say it again.
I will. Here we go. It is the NBC Connecticut American Red Cross Blood Drive. It is Thursday, January 9th from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the American Red Cross Blood Donation Center in Farmington.
Okay.
Please, please come out. I can't give because I was a big donor for years. The Gallon Club did phoresis, the whole nine yards. But then I guess that whole ruling came out with the Red Cross about if you lived in England for a certain amount of time during the whole mad cow disease. I'll show my age. I was there in the mid-'80s.
You're kidding me.
I kid you not.
But what about all the blood you've already donated?
It was good, but I guess it isn't anymore.
Oh, come on. You know, I don't believe half this stuff.
Look it up.
No. I believe what you're saying. Okay, so that happened in the 80s, but you've donated blood subsequent to that.
Yeah.
And that was fine.
Yeah.
So now you're even further removed from the 80s, and all of a sudden now somebody flipped the switch, and miraculously it's no longer good. Yet it was good all up until... See, this is what gets me.
Drives me nuts.
Well, my wife teases me all the time because she's one of those, 10-gallon club or whatever.
But, wow.
Oh, brother.
I can't even know there was such a club.
I'm on the bench. But please give.
You're right.
It's a wonderful cause, and folks who do it and the folks who volunteer to help.
You can even donate for yourself for future use.
You could. That's right. And the one thing I still can do, but it takes a lot of times, the platelet donation, the phoresis, where it goes in one arm and out the other. Yeah. It takes a lot of time, but like when I lived in Roanoke, Virginia, as a reporter there, my station was wonderful. They said, you take as much time as you want. You go give the blood or the platelets and just come in a little late, that's fine.
And we always appreciate it. Really quickly, in less than 20 seconds, can you tease us a little bit of what you're working on for down the road?
Okay. I have done a ton of stories about 911, about folks calling and not being able to
reach. You actually told us about this a couple of months ago.
Yeah, so we got one coming up. This one is a little bit of a twist. It's not about a problem. It's a little bit about a solution.
No kidding.
Yes, that's coming up.
I remember the text 911 you were talking about one time, too.
Yes, there's text 911, but there is an amazing advance that is in our state now. It's in its infancy. But it, within 2 weeks, that story is going to be on NBC Connecticut.
Make it faster, expedite everything. Oh, I can't wait. I'm looking at something we can all look forward to. Len Bestoff.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. He is chief investigative reporter for NBC Connecticut. We always look forward to the first Friday of every month when you're able to join us live in the studio. And we look forward to these specials, the blood drive next week, next on Thursday.
Yes.
And having you back next month.
Yes.